Welcome to That's a Good Question, a podcast where we answer questions about the Christian faith in plain language. If you or someone you know has questions, please submit them at peacechurch.cc/questions. Well, hey, everyone, I'm John. Great to have you with us on That's a Good Question, the place where we answer questions about the Christian faith in plain language. Here today with Logan.
Hey, Logan. Hello, Pastor Logan, family pastor here at Peace Church.
Great to have you, man.
Good to be here.
Logan joining us as the co-host for next several episodes. Excited to get to have some great conversations. If you're new and joining us, this is season four.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
Season four of That's a Good Question.
Wow.
Answered lots of amazing questions.
What a run it has been.
It has
been. How many have we redone? Like, how many?
Oh, I don't tell people that.
No, not reshot, but like, I just wonder what questions.
Wait a minute, how many times did I give a bad answer and we started over?
Is this the third take, John? No, I just am curious, like, what questions have come up multiple times.
Oh, man. Yeah, lots of them. Yeah, that's the thing. So if you're just joining us, then and if you've got questions, we love to hear them. So please send them in via the link. And also, be sure to check back and look at previous episodes to see where we've answered those questions before.
And don't hesitate to ask, because even if we have done an episode on something, there's always a cool nuance to give a topic and a different angle to think of it in. So
I love to get them more than once, and that also helps me know how many people are asking that question, whether we should do another episode on that question or answer it in a little bit different way.
The last episode that I was a part of, we talked about submission and angels, and like, there is just like so many things. Like, we never finished any of the conversations. It's like, these are huge things. We said some good stuff, and then we kind of had to move on for the next topic. It's like, you never really finish talking all of it. So,
for this season, we're actually going to kick off in a little bit different format. We're going to, we've gotten lots of questions on a couple of different topics. So I've tried to group them together. So we're going to do a 3-part series called Sins We Keep in the Dark. Should be a lot of fun.
So season four is the best yet.
That's right.
Saying.
That the best fun. Season
and
yet.
And we're starting it off with a heavy hitter topic.
We sure are. Yep. We like to laugh and joke a lot on this show, but this episode might be a little bit more on the serious side.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So Sins We Keep in the Dark, and today's topic is going to be lust.
Yep.
So I know some people are just like, oh, now I don't want to listen anymore, because that's a hard topic.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a tough one to talk about. Some people might have that reaction. Other people, I think, are thinking, because they've been asking this question, is, yes, please, let's talk about this. Please help me. How do I deal with this in my life?
I think it's such an obvious sin that we either bring it out into the light and go to war against it, as good Christian men and women should, or we intentionally do avoid it, because that's why it's in the dark, is because it's so obviously something that is stifling our sanctification and our walking with Christ, that you either deal with it or you don't.
Yeah.
There really is no middle ground when it comes to this type of topic.
And as we talk about it today, our goal is going to be to not make it all about shame, just feeling bad about it. Because that's only kind of a starting place. I mean, we do have to recognize our sin and feel bad about it, but that's only the starting place.
That's why you put stuff in the dark too, is because you're ashamed of it.
Yeah. Right. But not to just sit and talk about how ashamed we should feel, but to actually talk about how to deal with it and aim for freedom. How do we in Christ find freedom from this sin?
Yeah.
So that's going to be the goal of the conversation.
Yep.
So we've got a main verse we're going to use as we talk about this topic today. It comes from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus's words. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Hmm. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell.
Hmm.
So we'll be focusing on the first part of that, but good to hear the whole paragraph, get a sense of the context. So let's just start there and talk about real quickly, what is lust? What does the Bible say lust is? How do we define
it? Look at me. Yeah, the textbook definition.
You're the hater
on that
here
one.
With all the answers.
Yeah, I actually love the way that Jesus often, you said ups the ante, but also like simplifies it with metaphors and things. And he basically says, when he's talking about lust, he says, look at a woman with lust, adultery. Like, it's almost like lust equals adultery. Trying to get back to like the Ten Commandments language Right. Which I think you can kind of go to two of the 10. You can go to you shall not commit adultery. You can also go to Exodus 20 verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's mm-hmm. house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
Right.
And I think adultery has more to do with like the sexual side of things versus there is a realm of coveting that isn't sexual in nature. It's just, well, I want that stuff or I want.
Sure. You know.
But certainly, I guess there's evidence there that you never just commit one sin, you know, like sin is comprehensive and is affecting more than just one part of you. There's like that, the adultery side of it and the, well, that's not even your, you don't have a right to even be thinking of her in that way. And so there's, and then are you truly loving your neighbor in that way? It's like, there's always compounding. Yeah. There's a compounding nature to the sinfulness of sin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So if we had to really like make it super concrete, it might feel weird to get really concrete.
Do you have, but are you just going to say, you got something?
I didn't have something specific prepared, but I'll take a shot at it. So, you know, lust specifically, you know, when does looking at someone or thinking about someone cross the line into lust, I guess is the question I'm asking.
Yeah.
And I think it's like when you start visualizing or desiring.
Yeah.
A thing that is outside of God's design.
Yep.
Right. No, I've
heard common, even talking to my father recently about this, and he gave the phrase second glance. You know, that's where the sin is found, is in the second glance. And
sure.
Actually, wrote down just in my notes of preparing for this, there's a difference between recognizing beauty and lusting.
Yeah.
And that difference is found in whether you take that second glance or not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or later, when you know how you're processing.
Yes.
Yeah. If your mind, even without looking, returns to that.
Yeah. And that's like such a, I don't want to say crass, but like simplified version of trying to describe it. But
yeah. So, I mean, even just to get super concrete, I mean, so visualizing sexual acts or thinking, feeling like, ooh, I would really desire that. That's to somebody who's not your spouse.
Yep.
You can look at your spouse and have those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're married.
I think that goes back to the right question. Like what you can think of your sexual nature as something evil and to be rejected, and that we wouldn't view our sexual nature that way. It's built in intentionally by the creator. Like that's how we're designed as human beings, but there's a rightful place for that. There's a reason that sex is also called in some contexts, the marital act.
Yeah.
Like it's an action that a person can take with another person that is meant to be done in the context of marriage. And there's a reason that it intrinsically like it bears fruit, which is life. So that's, we're dealing with a very powerful action that we can take if the ramification of it is human life.
Yeah.
And we should not ever, and I think our culture is, this is maybe the most descriptive way to explain how our culture is just totally bankrupt when it comes to viewing sex and marriage. We cannot, as Christians, view sex apart from children or marriage apart from children. Like there's something that those marriage, sex, and children, they have to do with each other by definition, and we can't view them apart from each other.
I just thought of a lightning round question we're going to have to come back to.
Oh my gosh, okay.
What's the word for them?
What?
Contraceptives.
Oh yeah.
Are contraceptives okay for Christians,
man,
to use? There's a question.
Not
right now.
Another example of how we never fully talk about talk exhaustively.
It always takes
about
us
something
in so many different directions. So I just one more on just clarifying the definition. So where does it cross from temptation into sin? You know, so we said we're kind of, you know, like, you know, in our world, you're going to, you know, even, you know, Jesus says we're going to face temptation, but you've got to overcome temptation. So like, where is that line? Mm-hmm. You know, because like you're watching television and an inappropriate commercial or whatever comes across the screen. Where does that go from I'm tempted to lust to actually I've committed the sin of lust?
Yeah. And our culture is so pornographic.
Right.
That's why this is a very practical topic. It's because there's no one that can really escape asking that question if they're thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just so my quick thought is that it's a little unclear, I think, how to exactly describe that. But I think it's, you know, do you turn away and be like, no, I'm not going to look at that and think about that? Or do you sit there and dwell on it and absorb it? I think that's kind of the, you've got a choice to make. I think it's important just to distinguish between actually falling into the sin and just being tempted, because we will face temptation all the time. Like you said, we live in a basically pornographic world where this stuff is everywhere. So you're going to be tempted. The question is, do you give in? So, and we, you know, I never want to define the thing in such a way that we can never have any kind of victory.
Yeah.
So you can face temptation, live in this world, and yet have victory over the sin.
Yeah. There's so much more to say, but, and we'll hopefully say some of it still, but there's few things that I think is kneecapping Christian men more than a pornography addiction that they're ashamed to talk about or bring up.
Yeah.
And so you bringing up the fact there can be victory in this, I think, is huge. I think the fact that this is titled Sins We Keep in the Dark is huge, because, we keep that in the dark. Sin dies in the light, you know, like you have to bring it up. It's right. Satan has convinced you it's best to keep it in the dark. You're better for it. And those are just all lies.
Absolutely. So what are some lies, some easily misconceived ideas that we have about lust? Hmm. Some I think of is, one that comes to me is just, is this only a men's problem?
Right. Yeah. I said, men, I'm at our church, I'm the family pastor. I oversee men's ministry and women's ministry. And we have a ministry program for both women and one for men that are geared towards women and geared towards men, and trying to address issues that might be more specific to them in a way that might specifically help them better. But it's certainly, sexual sin is something that both men and women deal with. Certainly.
Yeah. Right. Pornography, definitely men ended up on the majority side of that, but it's true that both genders struggle with
it. Yes.
Right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
All right. So like we've said, there's so much we can talk about this topic, but let's kind of start at least thinking about, I think people listening are thinking, okay, I know what this is and I struggle with it. I want to know how to win, how by God's grace through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can I have some victory? And I think the first question we should maybe answer practically is this: why is just trying harder not enough?
Yeah.
Cause some people will say, well, you just got to try harder. It's just a will, self-discipline kind of thing. Mm. Why is that not really the complete answer?
Yeah. It's fascinating how we could talk about a lot of theoretical things and talk about why the gospel is enough. But someone might say, look, we'll get practical and get more tangible, and then we can move into more like, well, here, you can do this and this. But the gospel, we never move away from our need of the gospel. And just thinking of like what you're describing is self-righteousness.
Sure.
Which is anti-gospel if the gospel is that we can have the righteousness of Christ and be led in his righteousness. The reason that you can't just try harder is because inherently what that means is you saying, push Jesus even further away. Mm. And just do things yourself even more. And the reason why that doesn't work is the exact reason why the good news is good news, is because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, not empowered just by our own self-will and self-righteousness. And
right. So the big picture theological answer is that we have a sinful nature. Yeah. And so the Bible says that we're enslaved to sin.
Yeah. So why not need Jesus? Why not just try
harder
and push harder? It's because, your sinful nature is going to win that fight.
Yeah.
Your sinful nature is going to win that fight.
Yeah. You can't just try harder on your own. You need the Lord. I think you also need Christian community.
Mm.
I think there's plenty of things that you could think about. I mean, just the addictive nature of pornography.
Yeah, especially if there's addiction in your life, then trying harder is going
to
be fruitless.
I mean, it's similar, right, to saying just try harder to a drug addict or an alcoholic or something like that.
That's called being exhausted quickly. Sure. Yeah, you're going to get exhausted really fast. Yeah. So there's people listening to us even say, why not just try harder? And they're like, oh, I know that's impossible.
Right.
I'd love some good news. And so if we then flip the question a little bit from why not just try harder but trying to keep the tangible language, like, okay, so how do I practically seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to overcome either addiction or just how do I respond in moments where I experience a lustful thought?
Yeah. So I think we could probably both share from our own experience lots of different things that have been helpful, things that have been less helpful. I'll share. I think a basic framework for Christians fighting sin is that when you fall into sin, you go through the practice that Jesus teaches us to confess your sin, to repent of your sin, and to pray for the Lord to continue to help you.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helpful. I found it really helpful to do that with other brothers. So often that will be referred to as like an accountability partner or a small group or something like that. So having a group of guys that you can say, hey guys, I fell into sin. This is how. I am so sorry before you guys and before the Lord. And Lord, please help me.
And there is so much shame and guilt that someone can feel with sexual sin. And the Bible describes sexual sin as unique because it's, you know, it's, I think Paul says it's a sin against yourself in some ways. And so there's such.
It's also the analogy that is used throughout the Bible for idolatry. Adultery and idolatry are really connected. Yeah. So there's a, you know, sexual intimacy and the heart are very connected.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to affirm what you said. I can think of few things as powerful as confession, like moments in my life where I've pulled someone aside and confessed sin, or moments where another brother has come to me and confessed sin, which definitely keep it same gender, like men to men, women to women, unless you're like confessing to a spouse. I can think of few things as powerful in my life as moments of confession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, especially in my teens and 20s, when this was, you know, a big struggle, a big challenge. I think that's a time of unique challenge for most men against lust. I had a great group of brothers, same age guys. We got together once a week. We were able to pray for each other, encourage each other, read scripture together, confess. We had a text thread that we would text confession to each other. We did a unique thing that this is maybe we could laugh at this. And this would probably go into the category of, you know, we were really trying to exert our wills and our self-discipline, which by the way, you want to exert all the tools you have, right?
Yes.
I mean, self-discipline is a good thing. It's a God-given gift and we need to use it to fight against sin. But we would have this thing that when we would fall into sin, we would actually text each other and say it. And then we all had to run a mile.
I love that. That's awesome.
I don't know how popular that plan was, but
we'll just try into natural consequences.
It was just trying to bring up like, okay, I've confessed and that means something so that it wasn't just like,
there is something about, living in a fallen world where the good things that God has designed, like our sexual natures, can become twisted in a way where when you do feel lustful desire, you almost feel yourself like in a fog. You're not thinking rightly. Like you look back sometimes and you're like, I was not sober minded. You know, like there's something that was just, and that's temptation. Temptation is a liar. And you can like look back in moments where you were in temptation and you think, I didn't notice in the moment, but now looking back, I wasn't like, there was a spiritual war going on.
Oh yeah. And the lies that your mind starts to believe are incredible. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that is a fun way to, one, making an agreement amongst each other. It's like, we will share.
Yeah.
You know, we will share. And like, I'm expecting you to share with me. You should expect that I'll share with you.
Right.
That type of brotherhood is awesome.
And you got to make it, I'll add too, you know, you got to make it cross-centered too. It can't be just, I confess and we're all going to run. It's got to be also, I confess, I recognize that I've sinned before the Lord. Yeah. I recognize that Jesus's blood covers my sin. Thank you, Lord, and fill me with your spirit and help me to overcome sin in the future.
That precision is helpful. But I just love the mile on top of it. It's just because, I want to help myself think more sober-mindedly. So I'm going to do this physical action as well to kind of hammer that nail down.
I think maybe it came out of this, but I remember back, you know, in high school and football and stuff, it was, you know, if you did something wrong, you had to take a run to the wisdom tree is what we called it. There was a tree.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's a tree out, not terribly far from the football practice field. And if you messed up, coach said, take a trip to the wisdom tree. You had to run out to the wisdom tree and run back. Yeah. And so it's just that, you know, you had to do something that made you think for a little bit about what you did wrong and learn from your mistakes.
I say this in marital counseling too. Like you don't prepare for you to be at your best. You prepare for you to be at your worst. And sometimes, especially as spouses, you're both at your worst. And so you prepare for seasons like that. Yeah. But when it comes to personal, you know, your sanctification journey, the Lord like the Holy Spirit has helped all of us. Like, just listeners can think personally, but also like we all can think personally. The Lord's identified sins in your life. Like, sanctification is done a step at a time, and he's brought to your heart what he wants you to work on next. And so, I mean, go to war against those things that he's brought up into your mind. And so creative things like that, I think, are awesome. We have such Christian freedom in how we go to war against our sin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And confession, but confession is just a beautiful part of that, I think, especially when it comes to things like lust and pornography. I think that is one of the quickest lies that the enemy will give you in your heart is, it's, you don't have to share this. It's like, okay, maybe you don't. But when I first started confessing, when I was in college, my pornography addiction to my friends, I became in love with living in the light. Mm. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what the sunlight feels like.
Yeah.
I was taking any chance I could get to confess my sins, that felt like, for a season. I was able to speak in our school's chapel around that season of my life. And I remember having the thought, like, oh, I'm going to tell everyone that I was addicted to porn. Mm. I was so excited to do it. Yeah. And then there were guys that came up to me and they were just like in tears saying, thank you for mentioning that. And in a recent sermon that I gave, I felt like led to mention it too, just because for a pastor to share it in a sermon, there's men in the room that might have that shame of thinking, I'm the only one struggling with this. Or like what you brought up earlier, it's like, I think I can fight this on my own. That's such a lie. No, you can't.
Right.
But just for a community to practice confession better, then we need to step up and then practice confession more.
Yeah.
And man, I just hope anyone listening that has felt that lie recently, felt the Holy Spirit tugging on them to share and they don't, to just be reminded of something true, which is there's something so beautiful and powerful about confession.
Yeah, totally. And here's a verse I want to share that you can reflect on as well related to that. This is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So yeah, I think the Bible's pretty clear about how important that confession step is. One more quick practical thing I want to ask you, because you brought up the idea of confessing to your spouse. Let's talk about that real quick. There's so much, man, I feel like we're gonna run out of time quickly here, but should your spouse be your accountability partner?
Yeah, as far as like an accountability partner, no, I'd advise against it, but certainly you should confess your sins to your spouse.
Right. Your sin. Yeah. If you're married, your sin is against the Lord first and foremost, but it is against your spouse. Yep. You have sinned against them. So confessing to them and apologizing to them is an important step. And I think your spouse can't be the, because it's a sin against them, it is an emotional load for them to receive, you know, it hurts them. Mm-hmm. So they can't take on the primary role, I think, of being like an accountability partner. That's where you need a brother if you're a man, or a sister if you're a woman.
So much to say, but I'll get personal. When I shared with my, and there's so much more to the story that God's hand was in, but when I shared with Rachel, who was my fiance at the time, that pornography was a part of my life and something I was wanting to go to war against, I've never seen such pain that I've caused someone ever. And so I felt like I think I've said it before, like I felt like such a shell of a man.
Mm.
Like just, I've never felt more weak in my life. It's similar to now that I have kids. Like last night I held my son who was like having a hard time breathing because of a cough he had. Like I feel like such a weak man right now.
Mm.
Like I can't do anything about this. So and I feel awful, you know? And so like that moment where I confessed that sin to my soon to be spouse, my fiance at the time, that confession was so powerful in my life because it helped me think soberly about, oh my gosh, my sin hurts more than just me.
Yeah.
And then likewise on the other end of that, and the Lord used that season of my life in incredible ways, to just thinking of we were more than conquerors, right? Like victory and over sin. But, that weak moment was a positive moment for me to think clearly. And then for her to come back and forgive me, I have never felt more like a man, like more of a man, more capable and able and excited to be the type of man that I'm called to be. So I just, confession isn't all sunshine and rainbows as far as it's not necessarily pleasant to own it and confess your sins. And yet there's something so beautiful about walking in the light and being in truth and not letting skeletons in the closet, you know, keep a chain around your neck.
Right. Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. What is the name of the ministry that we do?
So for men specifically, we have a program which is very targeted. Our women's ministry for sexual sin is more broad and has a lot more applications to it. But the men's ministry specifically is for porn addiction, and it is called the Conquer Series. So the Conquer Series, we call it our Conquerors Group. And it's, I believe, 14 weeks going through a program, the Conquer Series. And pretty early on, or maybe it's in the middle, but it does include, like, there has to be confession to your spouse.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that we've kind of highlighted that, because they do too, as something that is profoundly important.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those who are listening who are part of Peace Church, that's something that we do at the church. Feel free to reach out and inquire about that. If you're not part of Peace Church, there are resources online. There are, those books and resources are available in other places. We're not the only church that does that. So check that out. Hope that's a valuable resource.
No, I have heard of the just thinking of sexual sin as a sin against your own body, and also how when you're married, you are one flesh. Few things are as painful to both people than sexual sin. Yeah. And I've heard the analogy of, like, it's like stabbing your spouse with a knife, but that knife has another blade facing you, and you're just like stabbing each other. It's so painful. And so
it's a brutal image.
We need to think soberly about this, because it's just, again, kneecapping men and women in their spiritual lives in sanctification because of the shame holding us back. And it hurts. It is sin, and sin kills, and it's hurting our marriages, and we need to get serious about it.
Yeah. Real quickly, let's end. I want to end on the gospel note and then hit lightning round. So real quick, gospel note. I just want to say, for those who, we all need to hear it. Lust is not the unforgivable sin. Mm. Even adultery is not the unforgivable sin. Jesus's blood can cover any sin. And for those who love the Lord and have salvation in and through Jesus, have been covered in the blood of Jesus, God calls us to continually repent and to try to conquer our sin. So he forgives us, which is great news, and he gives us the Spirit and tries to lead us into a life that is more conformed to Jesus. It doesn't leave us to just stay in our sin.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Lightning round. Logan.
Yes.
Can married people still struggle?
Am I the only one answering the lightning round questions? I can ask you some, right? Is lust always a sin?
I guess.
Is lust always a sin even if it's fleeting? Is that the question?
No, I was going to go. Because I feel like we already answered that one. Right, so I was going to ask, can married people still struggle with lust?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And I feel like we did kind of answer that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was going to maybe go the next step and say, can married people, this is—
And you lust
this
after your spouse? That,
well, no, I was going to say, people do ask this question from time to time, even though the answer might seem clear to us. Is it okay for married people to watch pornography?
Oh, as part of what?
You've never had anybody ask you that?
No.
Helpful. If we're doing this to help us as a married couple.
Yeah, not helping you. It's the same reason why social media is making us all more depressed. It's comparison. Sure. Not good. I mean, that's just one part of it. But just on the face of it, that would be not helpful.
No, I've had people ask me that. They've said, we're married and we're doing it to help us. Yeah. Because so doesn't that make it okay? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Some of these we've already answered. So here's one. You get to answer this one. I'm just kidding.
What is it?
This is an awkward one.
Which one?
Is masturbation a sin?
Yeah. If what you mean by masturbation is I'm alone, I'm by myself, I'm entertaining thoughts.
So that's the thing. Credit to my parents for this. We read a book together when I was a young man and you know, going through puberty and all those kind of things. You got to talk to kids about this kind of stuff. But I remember that book actually was a very popular book at the time, and it actually said that the answer was no, that this isn't sin. It's okay. What it didn't clarify is that's possibly true if you can separate it from lust. So what I hear you saying is that it's not really, is it really possible to do that thing without lust? Probably not.
I mean, if you get really crass, which I guess we're already here, we've been talking about sex, but, there's such a thing as, nocturnal emission. Okay. Which is like, that's not masturbation, right, but your body right. did the thing.
While you're asleep.
And that might come about from like a lustful dream or it might not, but I guess you are putting the kind of focus down on, well, are you selfishly lusting after, you know?
Well, I think that's yeah. what it comes down to, right?
Agreed.
So the question is about this physical thing, this self-stimulation, whatever. I'm just avoiding the word now, but, is that physical action inherently evil? Maybe not, but typically it means you're using lust in your brain to do that thing. So yeah, that's sin.
I think that's a helpful, just quick, this is lightning round after all. We're not very fast here.
I picked a tough question for lightning round, but I
kind of focusing on, well, are you lusting? That kind of answers the question pretty quick.
Totally. Yeah,
that's good.
Yep. Totally.
Yep. Let me ask the next question. Dang it. Okay. What's the difference? What's the difference between porn and just looking too long?
Well, pornography would involve, I think it involves how much you see is usually what I would think of as the definition of that. I guess in our country, there's even been Supreme Court debate about what the definition is, but
wow.
I mean, the difference between, if you're asking what is the difference between pornography and waiting too long or looking too long, you're talking about how well clothed the person is. But we've already said, I think the real question isn't about what's the difference between pornography and looking too long, but what's the difference between lust and looking too long.
Mm.
And that's something we talked about already, right? The second glance or the beginning to visualize or desire a sexual interaction with somebody who's not your spouse.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
No, we mainly just opened up a lot of cans of worms. We didn't really.
We sure did.
Land the plane on too many things.
Let's land the plane on this. Again, feel free to send in lots of questions about this, and we'll have to do another episode someday in the future, but we'll wrap it up for today. Let's end on this. One book that you think would be helpful for people on the topic. I'll go first.
Yeah.
I'll go first so you can think about it. The book that was most helpful to me on this, and it actually wasn't at all about sexual sin. It was just about sin in general. So this is maybe not going to be the one for most people, but it was John Owen, The Mortification of Sin. That's so he's good. A Puritan, 400 years ago, writing a book just about killing sin. He spends an entire book. It's a short book, but a deep, and it's not an easy read, but he spends the entire book expositing Romans 8:13, which basically says you've got to kill sin before it kills you.
Yeah, that's the classic line that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Which is what when I said in this episode said, go to war against sin. That's like, another way of saying that exact idea is you need to go to war against it. That is sanctification. And the Holy Spirit helps you in that. That isn't self-righteousness.
I read that book at 19 or 20, and I just thought it was super, super helpful, impactful.
Yeah. So then my mind right now goes to like, what have we've opened a lot of cans of worms, so we're not going to be able to, I can't wrap up everything as much as I want to be able to, but I'm trying to think of what did we bring up that would be helpful to go back to? And I think, for single men and women wrestling with these things, because when you're, I mean, 1 Corinthians 7 literally says like, have sex, that's how you fight, right? Don't, maybe pause for times of prayer, but come together again so that Satan may not tempt you. It's like, oh my gosh, like that act in marriage is in renewing your covenant in a sense, like giving yourself over is how you fight sin in a way. But single people don't have that to do. You don't have a vow.
You're cheating right now. You're preaching. You're supposed to be answering just what is one book recommendation.
This isn't lightning round anymore. This is the conclusion of the episode. But I'm just saying that we've said a lot about married people. They have avenues in that single people don't. They're single. And I guess that's the one thing where I'm thinking, I want to say one more thing about that, I guess, just because for the man or woman in the 20s that are like, I'm not married and I need something else here. So I think it's reassuring to know, one, that we can overcome this through the Holy Spirit's power. And you've said that very well. We can overcome this. And just to know that the Bible is very clear in when it comes to our sexual nature, we only have two options. And it's not necessarily singleness or marriage. Like you can get a little more precise with it. It's faithfulness in marriage and it's faithfulness in pursuing the Lord.
So like really your two choices are God's way or not God's way.
I guess we're talking about selfishness and selflessness kind of being at the heart of these topics here. And just be mindful where your focus is and know that the Lord's going to help you readjust your focus if you notice it's not aligned with his will. And this has to do with more than just lust, but especially lust. Like when we catch ourselves in sin, what do you do? Well, as a Christian, you repent and then get on with following the Lord again. And that's what he wants you to do. And so just consider, yep, that was a selfish thought, and go to the Lord in prayer, maybe even confess it to a brother or a sister and repent and then move on. Yeah. Like that's where we have that freedom and that power in the gospel to get back to living and not let Satan shame us and stifle our sanctification with that shame. But we can give that guilt to the Lord.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it. And even a prayer that is helpful that is still helpful to me, but especially when I wasn't married, was, Lord, thank you for the beauty in your creation. Any further entertaining of that thought would be sinful because I have no right. And then try to refocus your mind on what the Lord does want you to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Way to preach a sermon at the end.
Hey, I feel not guilty, but this isn't bad. No, we just opened a lot of boxes and rummaged around. We didn't fully.
Yeah. Feel free to submit questions and then we can do another episode to answer those questions.
Yep. Oh, you asked me a book.
You used up all your time. You don't. It's over. You don't get to recommend a book anymore. Okay.
I'll recommend the same book. I'll
there you go. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. Well, hey, everybody. Hope this was helpful to you. Blessings. And we will be praying for you that the Lord will give you victory over sin. Have an awesome week.